Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
Hi, I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the last show of December.
Yep, last show of the year. Last show of the month.
Last show of the year.
Last show of the quarter.
Last show of the last show.
Yeah, that's it. So we have a lot to talk about. We have a couple of things going on that obviously are very apparent, but it was a very weird year coming to an end. A lot of people talking about the whole idea of, you know, look at all that's happened bad and all the people suffering, and yet the markets and the finance and the companies and the rich are getting richer, the poor are just getting poor. You know, this whole discussion's been going on, which is true. But I think what's really interesting is that there's a kind of a theme that I've been hearing about, which is, all right, we've been through this global pandemic. We've been through this, you know, crazy election cycle. We've been through all the things that you could list throughout the year of 2020. And, you know, some people say, well, why should I invest? And the other people are saying, well, can it get any worse? And if it can't get any worse than we've got, I mean, what could be worse? Asteroids?
What could be worse? Another year of the same would be worse.
That would be worse. Could be a zombie apocalypse. It could be aliens taking over the world. It could be pods. When you go to sleep, you turn into
a pod.
A pod, yeah. But they're thinking, hey, if this is the worst we get and the markets are still doing pretty good, then you know what? Maybe there's something to be said about that.
There's something to be said about it, all right.
Well, what is it? What do you think?
It's a setup for a fall.
But each time, I'll take the other side of this. Each time we're being trained, we're being absolutely programmed, right? That every single time there's some kind of development that is bad for the economy, the Fed is going to be there and stimulus will be there and they'll bail it all out. I mean, they've done that since, in the last 20 years, three times.
I agree.
So why? I think that anybody in the last 20 years, let's think of an age. That would be, let's say you're 30, 35. Let's say you're 35. So the first time that you saw this happen was when you were 15 and you had nothing you could do about it. The next time you saw it happen
when was that?
I'm saying if you're 35 now, it was 20 years ago.
20 years ago, the dot-com collapse.
Right, exactly. The dot-com collapse back then. So you were like, okay, whatever. I saw my parents go through this. Then 10 years post that, or really 8 or 9 years post that, we had another collapse.
Yeah, second collapse.
And what happened from there? Everything just ran right back up if you were smart.
Could have pushed that second one off a little bit, but they wanted to make sure it happened during the Bush administration.
And then we have this
one.
So
now we're at the same. It's like the same. If it's a 10-year thing, we're right there. We're ready to collapse.
Oh, ready to go back down again.
Well, it would seem so. We did a collapse in 1999, 2000, 2001. Then we had another collapse in 2007, 2008, 2009. Now we have another one coming up 2021, 22, 23. Seems like a cycle.
It seems like a cycle. I mean, we did have a semi-collapse that lasted a month, but yes, I agree that now we're pouring on gasoline onto a fire and the speculation is high and people are just euphoric to a level that is just, I mean, we went from this panic, this absolute outright panic, markets and socially and health-wise to, let's get up and go. I mean, not everybody, not everybody, of course.
Most people got up and went.
Yeah, they left somewhere. We're getting them pouring in here to sunny South Florida.
Yeah, because you stay open, so it's a booming economy.
Come on down. The sun is good, and it's a great time for that right now. You start closing down New York and New Jersey and Connecticut, and all the areas.
They all head to Florida.
Come on down to Florida. They've been giving us shit for years. You know that. You know, oh, Florida, the Florida man, and Florida, and we'd be idiots.
Yeah, now we're now what are the, who they? Yeah, and they meanwhile they're now down there.
Right now they come down and they think they know everything. I've seen this.
Well, before. Yeah, that's the case with Californians when they move to Washington or Oregon.
Yeah, they know everything. They know absolutely.
We know everything.
Absolutely everything.
You have no idea how property can increase in value.
Right. All right. So with the stimulus bill. The stimulus bill was passed. The deal was signed since we last talked. Drama was high. It was a deal that was done. And then all of a sudden, it was crushed. President Trump said, hey, you know what? We're not doing this. This deal stinks to high hell. It's a disgrace. And said that he's not signing it. Now, I predicted over the weekend when I did the Disciplined Investor podcast, it was on Saturday I was talking about this. I said, you know what? By the end of the weekend, before the markets open, something's going to get done. And lo and behold, President Trump said, yeah, all right, fine. We'll do the deal. We'll sign it. And now they're going back into the House and into the Senate to try to, on the back end, increase the $600 to $2,000. Now, why in the world did they pick $2,000? I have no idea. Not to say, okay, $1,200. Is it because President Trump said $2,000? So Democrats are like, oh my God, we got more money to spend. And the Republicans are like, oh, Trump said it, so I'll do it. Is that kind of like what happened?
I don't see any other reason.
It's just so arbitrary.
If you heard him get that speech where he's bitching about this bill, he says people should get more than $600. They should get like $1,200 or $1,800 or $2,000. He threw a bunch of numbers out. He didn't just say $2,000. But everyone jumped on the $2,000.
That was the high level, the high watermark.
Yeah, it was the highest thing he said.
Right. So
he just said $2,100, they'd be on that.
Right.
So, I don't know.
So now it's have the possibility.
The whole thing's a mess.
Yeah, they passed that resolution in the House. And now we gotta figure out what's going on with the Senate because McConnell shot it down and I don't know. There's this kind of weird stuff going on there. They tried to do unanimous consent, then they tried to push it through that way. He didn't want to do it that way. He wants a regular vote or something. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen. The extra $1,400 per person. That's a lot of money. I mean, it's not a lot of money. Let me stop. Hold on a second. It's not a lot of money individually. It's a lot of money in totality.
Oh, the total is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some disingenuousness with Trump because he came out and he said, I was doing the calculations in my head. And it was like, you know, they're giving $120 million in aid to Tanzania, something like that. And if you start doing the calculations, $600 a head, let's say for half the public, 150 million people, $2, making it from 600 to 602, the two extra dollars is $300 million, which is twice as much as the money going to Tanzania at $150 million. I mean, every dollar is like, you know, an aid program.
And wasn't some of that other outside they squashed two bills together, right? They squashed the continuing resolution to keep the government open and funding of the government with the COVID relief bill. That was from what I understand.
And the whole thing is a mess.
So yeah. What happened was that some of the things that were, which may not be something we want to do, but some of the things like, for example, that maybe the Tanzania deal, that may have been part of the continuing resolution, which was part of an ongoing funding that's been going on for a long time. And everybody's getting upset that was in the COVID bill. Again, it's social media. Just get rid of the whole damn thing.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. We have a short week for markets. Markets closed on Friday, but we have a full day Thursday, much different than last week where we had a half day on Thursday before Christmas. Some market updates. We have higher highs, no real lows to speak of. They try to get to the lows, and as soon as it starts crapping out, every morning towards about 10 a.m., it seems, they just start buying it like crazy, which is pretty amazing. We had a couple of weird days, though. We're starting to see the oddity of the end of the year, end of quarter, end of month, all converge where you have the window dressing, the paint taping, the tax harvesting, and the work to try to get what's working on your books to make sure that in your annual report, if you're an institutional investor, you have at least showing up what were the good things throughout the year, which I always thought was kind of funny. Let's say a mutual fund or an institutional investor has crappy performance, less 5% for the year. In a year that the markets were up 10, let's say. And meanwhile, they try to put inside of their holdings to the end of the year all these stocks that did really well to make it look like they're holding all these names. Doesn't somebody wake up and say, well, that doesn't seem to work? It seems like there's a bit of a divergence from what you have written down here to what you actually did. Nobody asks about that, right? Just stupid people out there.
Nobody but you.
Nobody but me. Tuesday, on Monday, we saw this kind of weird advanced decline line really not doing well. Markets were up nicely, but yet there was kind of a lot of the stuff underneath. The momentum names, a lot of the COVID plays like the Zooms and the Pelotons and all those names, not doing well at all. And then today we saw the same thing again. The difference today was they pulled down the small caps about 2% for the day, which nobody really saw because it was behind the scenes, whereas the Dow was down 100, S&P was down, I don't know, 0.2. NASDAQ was kind of even for the day. But there was a lot of carnage out there. I will tell you, there's a lot of names like the SPACs and all the speculative names that really got hurt.
All right, we have to stop here, and I need another explanation of SPAC.
Okay.
It's a special
purpose acquisition company. Do you remember the old days that there were the blind pools? Remember those? So here's the deal. Let's say that you, John C. Dvorak, create a company and you put it on the exchange. You know, you fund it with a few million dollars, you do the legal work. And you just kind of have a stock. It's a stock. It trades, but maybe you have some business, maybe you don't. And instead of going through the massive process of what an IPO is, which is usually a roadshow, and you got all these companies you got to talk to and all that and tell them what you did and open up your books, you didn't do that. You just did an IPO, you know, nobody cares about. It's just a company that you put on the markets to trade publicly. Does that make sense?
How do you go about that?
It's a legal process. It's, you know, you go through all the forms and paperwork to create a company and to have a certain net capitalization, and you get some people to fund it. And you say, we're going to do this blind pool. Why are we doing it? Well, we're just going to get something on the market. We're going to get a company on the market. Does it do anything? Well, maybe not really. Maybe it's just like a holding company. And then in the old days, what you did was we had these reverse mergers where you had some company that would be out there, and we'd buy that up inside of the blind pool. Same thing that's going on here. And basically, you take a shell of a company. What's called a shell company? That's another.
So another word. Well, hold on. So in other words, this is like a reverse merger, but it's not, because reverse mergers in the olden days, was a way to go public without having to do a lot of paperwork.
That's the same thing. You basically have somebody.
But you said you already went public.
Somebody did that already. Somebody. You know, you did it. Okay, so John C. Dvorak, Inc. did this public deal. You just created this company, this shell company, this blind pool that's on the market.
And it's traded.
It's traded, but nobody's trading it because it's not doing anything.
You know,
it's
a penny stock.
Yeah, it's just sitting there. Now, these days, it's $10. That's the number, $10. They come public at $10. It sits there because nobody's trading it. There's no volume, nothing happening. And then some of the company out there, you look at it, you're like, okay, you know what? We have $5 million in this account, and we see a prospect that we want to buy. I don't know who it is. You know, you buy some defunct, these days, you buy some defunct, like Fisker, you buy a defunct EV company, and you have people put in tons of money into the SPAC to buy the EV. The EV rolls into the SPAC. Now that SPAC is technically the new EV. You just rolled it in there. You shoved it in. Kind of like the inside of a Tootsie Roll Pop. Just got it in there. And now you have this shell around it. And now it's trading. Now everybody's like, oh, look at that. Now Fisker's trading. Meanwhile, Fisker was not doing anything at all, halfway to bankruptcy, if not bankrupt.
And neither were you.
Yeah. What do you mean neither was I? What do you mean? What does that mean? What does I have to do with it?
No. Me, the John C. Dvorak publicly traded company at $10. I wasn't doing anything.
Right. You just,
and they weren't doing anything.
Yeah,
so we reverse merged and everyone's all jacked up.
Yep, pretty much. Basically, that's the basic stat. Now, what some of these other guys are doing is they're finding these companies that are called, or they created some IPO called the JCD Acquisition Inc. And you put it out there, and you're a name in the business world, and you fund it with a bunch of money, and then you let's say you fund it with $500 million for some reason, and you just let it sit there, and everybody's like this guy Chatterman Papapatadia. You know what I'm talking about? Chamath Papapatadia. I can never say his name. Anyway, he's a famous guy. He was with PayPal. I think he started PayPal, or one of those guys.
And everybody was, apparently.
Yeah. And what he does is he goes and he creates these things, starts, of course, pumping them, right? You got the IPOC, IPOC.U, IPOB, IPOA, and these are basically the symbols. And he created all these and he has acquisition targets for some of these. But everybody's like, oh, this guy, like Ackman just did one. This guy, he's really smart. I'm going to invest along with his idea. What you basically have is an undiversified investment, number one. Number two, there's all sorts of fees these managers really suck out of this deal. And it's a very, very, it's a very, very expensive proposition for the most part. I would not be surprised, and I'll put this on the prediction list if you want, that SPACs are going to have some significant regulation moving forward because there's way too much of these. These things are just littering the tape these days. I mean, there's so many.
How can you spot them?
Usually you find a stock that was at $10. Well, you could just look up SPACs and on the Goog. Go Goog.
They will give me a list of them?
Yeah, you can find them. Yep. Okay. Look up like SPACs trading, SPACs that are going to come trading. SPACs that are going to be funded, you know, this problem. And I'm certain there are sites dedicated for just SPACs, like SPAC News, you know, SPAC Now or whatever it is, you know,
SPAC News,
you know? So
yeah, I'm sure there are. Now
and you could see these things going, because if you look at the chart historically, you see like a $10 run, whoop, 15, like what happened? What happened there? And then once you start seeing that happen, everybody is all excited and they start buying the crap out of this thing. It's amazing. So there's the SPACs. Some of them are okay. I mean, obviously, but the problem is it was an easy way to get this deal done. But I think the euphoria around them are really crazy. Really crazy. Georgia, still on investors' mind, but on the back of their mind. We'll have to see what happens. I think it's on the 10th? The 10th of January, the Georgia vote or the Georgia runoff?
No, I think this Georgia vote comes in on the 5th.
The 5th.
And the 6th is the day that all hell breaks loose.
Oh, you think it's going to be Democrat?
Oh, I would doubt it.
So, if it's
that one Democrat, the younger, the male,
uh-huh.
That guy's a creep. I don't see how anybody would vote for that guy.
The amount of money coming into these guys is pretty amazing.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. What else? Counting down. I don't know what counting down to. Hopefully for a better year, but it looks like there's a lot of similarities going on through that. Listen, a quick notice and announcement. Next week, we're not doing the show live next week, but we have a big surprise. Big surprise. We have, it's not really a surprise. It's a big announcement. We have the best of Ryan Radisky, which I believe I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Ryan Radisky.
Does it again.
Does a great job. He put together.
Rozdilsky.
Radisky. Ryan Radisky. Isn't it Ryan Radisky? Yeah. I can look that up. And basically.
Yes, actually, turns out the best of show is actually longer than all of our shows combined. It's very strange.
Well, this would be a couple of hours for your listening pleasure. And when we do this, what Ryan does throughout the year is he listens to all the episodes, breaks up all the discussions into various segments based on a subject, and then he puts it all together, and then we kind of run through it. So next week, check that out. It's going to be pretty exciting. Only here on DH Unplugged. Let's see. Best of DH Unplugged. Looking back. Okay. So we talked about 2020.
And the show after that, we announced the closest to the pin championship.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's get to that right now. You want to look at that? It's kind of go down the list a little bit. See that there's a link there? This is pretty cool.
If it comes up, there we go.
So check this out. First of all, you got to love Ryan's price guess. That's a no agenda listener if I ever saw one.
Yeah, that's funny.
So Ryan L's in first place. He's guessing 30,333.33 for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And you know what? He's $2 off. $2. $2.
Yeah. He's got a clue about those numbers.
Yeah. So we have another few days to go on this. It closes on the 31st. Actually, it's going to close, yes, on the 31st. Thursday, the close of Thursday, and then we'll declare the winner for this close to the pin cup. But we have, what, 6 people? 1, 2, 3, 4. Marcus, who has always been hot, is not. Unless we get a pretty good banger to the downside, He's way off. Could happen.
It wouldn't surprise me if he went under 30,000 at the end of the year. It wouldn't surprise me. So he could still win.
Yeah. He's what is he? 29,682. So he is, yes.
He's the low. He's the definitely the low bid.
Yeah, low bid on this. So, but we'll announce that and we'll get some great stuff out to the winner, but we'll announce that next week. So I want to go back
The week after.
The week after, yes. Best of next week. So I wanted to talk about what we learned from 2020. Some of the lessons, maybe.
Yeah.
So the first, I think the best idea is buy stocks when the world is ending.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't go wrong. Yeah. It's a win-win.
Yeah. What's the worst that's going to happen? The world ends and who cares anyway?
The world ends. You don't have any money anyway.
Yeah. You know, worst idea for 2020 that I learned, talking to anybody about politics.
Duh.
You know, you could bring up something and you just spin something. Talk about triggers. That's the definition of a trigger. You know, talking to somebody that has one side or another about something they don't believe in. Oh my goodness, people get crazy. I'm just not involved. I'm just not doing it.
The nuts.
Yep. I think we learned that valuations don't matter because it's all a game. We gamified the idea of investing, where we can do it on our smartphones, any time of the day, anywhere we are, and there's no commissions to pay. We gamified the whole thing. It's like, who cares if I buy this? Worst comes to worst, I'll sell it, and I don't have to pay anything to do so.
Buy, sell.
Yep. All assets move together when massive stimulus pushed into the markets. Remember something, back in March when the world was ending and COVID was taking over and everybody was going to die then within 3 months, this horrible death of choking on your own mucus, everything sold off. Gold sold off. Alternative assets sold off. Bonds sold off. Treasury sold off. Everything sold off. Dollar moved up, but everything sold off. Then we have this incredible stimulus package, $2.2 trillion baseline from the fiscal side, zero interest rates from the Fed. Then another $4 trillion of balance sheet buys on the Fed and massive inflow of money and the money supply jumps and everything moves up. Everything. Whether it's cryptocurrencies, whether it's hard assets.
Money's got to go somewhere.
Exactly. So, and I think the thing we did learn, and there was no question about this, and it continues to be a troubling factor. And this is, again, this is a no agenda comment here, I'll tell you right now. No agenda, by the way. Thursdays and Sundays, John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry talking about all the things that are untrue in the world and making the truth out of what's really going on. The masses can be herded. You agree with that?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious what's going on.
Did you see that tonight? Joe Biden came out with his plan that he said for the first 100 days. I don't know why.
Mask up.
Did you see this? What does the 100 days have to do with anything?
I don't know. He got it from Steve Jobs, apparently.
He's talking to Steve Jobs?
Steve Jobs was the guy when he first, the Macintosh was first released in 1984. He made a big stink about the first 100 days.
Well, isn't that always the first 100 days of the presidential, after the presidential inauguration?
Oh, they evaluate you? Yeah, maybe.
100 days. I don't know. Okay. All right, let's skip up to a couple of things. Tony Robbins. You a fan of Tony Robbins?
I've never really been I've read some stuff. I know what he's up to. And I've never been a fan, I'd say. And I've never been to his seminars, which is supposed to be pretty funny. And but I know a lot of people who are Tony Robbins nutballs. I mean, just whatever Tony Robbins says goes.
I like Tony Robbins in his early days as a motivational speaker. But then when he started branching out into like finance and coming up with like, you know, being a financial guru dude. And then,
I didn't even know he did that.
Oh, I think he's still doing that.
Oh, but that's no good.
He's got all sorts of stuff. You know, you got to kind of like take.
He can't make enough money, apparently.
I don't even know how that is, but okay. You know, and so this guy has been sued in New York's federal court these days by an employee who says that Robin's company refused reasonable accommodations as she recovered from COVID-19 and that Robin's took advantage of her situation to promote himself, which I don't really probably I don't see any reason why this probably not been the truth. She was working for Robbins for 18 years. And she says, and the claim says, that by falsely claiming he saved an employee's life during an international pandemic from the very disease that was and is ravishing the world, Robbins attempted to convince his followers, which sounds cultish, doesn't it, that he has otherworldly knowledge and powers, and that he knows better than the doctors treating Ms. Costa. And there's a complaint that was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. So I don't know what he did, but he pissed somebody off.
Her, apparently.
Yeah, I guess he said, you know what, you got to get back within 20 days. We need you. The world, I don't know what's going on here. But
well, you'd have to read the deposition or the indictment or something. Just crazy. Get a hold of that paperwork. It'd be fun to read.
Yep. Yep. Somebody do a summation of it for us, will you?
No, a summation, nothing. Get us a copy.
Yeah, that'd be good. Send it on in. Alibaba. Now, here is another lesson learned in 2020. And that is, if you're the richest man in China, and a lot of the money that you made is on the back of the Chinese government promoting and providing you all sorts of leeway to do what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not a good idea to bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, it's not the time to start complaining about the Chinese government.
Yeah, just let it go. Because what does he think is going to happen? He's gonna change things. And there is no coincidence.
This is something I think that happens to a lot of guys that get too much money. They think that it's actually a lot of them, especially in these situations with China or in some other city. I would say Elon Musk is kind of in a similar boat where Elon Musk's wealth is largely due to government giving the special treatment for his cars and financing the rocket shots. And it's a lot of government money involved in his businesses. And you would want to kind of appreciate that if you were that person.
Yeah, but instead you get this godlike complex, right? And you get this whole idea that, you know, you did it by yourself. Nobody else helped. It's all you. And meanwhile, you know, a lot of the money, like you said, for Musk is government-based tax credits for the cars and all of the things that financing at cheap rates, et cetera. So Jack Ma, for those of you who have not been paying attention to this or involved with this, he kind of snapped out at the very bad workings of the financial system within China and really pushed the Chinese government, their face right in the mud on it. And lo and behold, very soon after, he was going to be doing a IPO of the Ant Group, which is one of the companies he found, a major financial banking company that also has being held by a position held by Alibaba. And now they said, you know what? I think there's a problem with that IPO. So China's central bank now is urging Ant Group this weekend to outline a concrete plan as soon as possible to meet the regulatory demands and fully understand the seriousness of the rectification work they need to do. And this was a big problem because, first of all, Ant Group, the IPO was pulled. So that's first of all. Then on the back of that, they're going after Alibaba and saying that they have monopolistic tendencies. And they're going after looking at Alibaba now. I mean, we know this monopoly of this. We know that this is all, you know, what Chinese consumers are supposed to be buying from. So now they're going after Alibaba. So now what do we do? So Jack Ma, with a net worth of $57 billion, is going to fight back somehow. He's going to raising the buyback to $10 billion. I guess the only thing next to do is to put a black bag over his head and drag him away in the middle of the night and stick him in some hotel room.
Well, not to be maudlin, but something like that's going to happen if he keeps this up.
Yeah, he needs to kind of like shut his mouth. And several of the companies in the sector, I mean, I think Alibaba lost like $50 or $60 billion of its market cap in this recent rout due to all this. So they cut Ant, which was a big thing, and that was going to help Alibaba. And then they're going to look into Alibaba due to their, quote unquote, monopolistic. You know they're going to extract some pound of flesh from this. So,
well, you know, they might actually go overboard and really ruin the guy. It's just a lesson. It's just a lesson for everyone else.
I know. I've always looked at him and I've heard him and I've listened to him and I'm like, did he really create all this on his own so quickly? Obviously, the blueprint was Amazon, right? So he used the blueprint from Amazon, but it's still not the blueprint because Amazon makes a lot of their money through AWS and other services. This is just a, this is just like the Amazon.com service. Well, different. It's also bulk and all that, but, and it's obviously a much bigger company, four times the amount of consumers. But kind of, you know, wondering how he actually got this going, because he just doesn't seem to me to be the guy that that's that much of a brainiac. He was an English.
Yeah, he's not a dynamic. Yeah, brainiac's the right word. He's not that type. Yeah,
and he was an English teacher before he started all this.
Yeah.
Just doesn't add up.
No.
So, Jack, if you're listening, time to clamp down, say you're sorry, pay whatever fine they're going to pay and move on and be a good boy. I think that's the lesson he's going to learn for this year. California, we have a new stay-at-home order. Newsom says 0% ICU capacity areas will have extended stay-at-home orders. Fauci says that herd immunity against the novel coronavirus could require vaccination rates approaching as high as 90%. Where is this all coming from?
Wasn't making it up as they go along.
Pretty much.
There's no evidence for any of this.
So just throw out a number and it make, you know, so that every,
I'm the expert.
Now, you know what this is? I'll tell you what this is. Tell me what you think. This is trying to convince people that to make sure that we can do what we need to do and get beyond this, that everybody needs to be vaccinated. The whole attempt to say we need to do 90%, which means that, okay, I'm one of those. I have to get vaccinated. If it's only 50%, you're like, okay, I'll take my chances. Trying to get those anti-vaxxers pushed in the right place. What do you think about that?
I think there's only an element of that in play. I don't think they're going to have any trouble getting people to get vaccinated if they could just provide enough vaccine. I think people line up.
That's another problem. The vaccines are not getting, I think 2.1 million people were vaccinated. Yeah,
that's the problem right there. It's not that you have to convince them to take it.
What is the problem with this? I mean, somebody was joking around saying, you know what, we should have given Chick-fil-A the vaccine, and they could have gotten everybody right through. Just get them right through.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A would have done the job.
But what is the problem? We got 10% of the vaccines that are available have been distributed. And I know it's not that long of a period of time, but it seems to be a holdup.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Well, you did play a great clip from a general who was in charge of the distribution who was just—
Oh, that crazy general.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. It's all my fault. I did it. Please forgive me. It's all my terrible job. It was like really groveling.
Yeah, it was pathetic.
More news on COVID. Amazon has closed a warehouse in northern New Jersey until December 26th. So I guess they open up again. After saw an uptick of asymptomatic coronavirus cases.
Yeah. So in other words, nobody had it, but they all tested positive.
Yeah, somehow there was, and they're testing them, I guess, just regularly. Employees at the Robbinsville Township, New Jersey facility known as PNE5 were informed Sunday that the site would temporarily close. Yep. And let's see. And this. Oh. So here we go. We got two more pieces on this coronavirus, which is market related. The first known U.S. case of the same highly infectious COVID-19 variant in the UK was detected in Colorado.
Yeah, makes sense.
Only one case, though. You know, I tell you, when I read this story, I had this instantaneous flashback to February 2020, give or take a few days, where it's like, all right, we have one case. We're not worried about it. Everything's going to be fine. Remember that conversation?
It was in Washington State.
Yeah, remember that? It's one case. That's all it is. We've got it taken care of. The borders are closed. And it was the whole coronavirus task force and everybody else. Oh, not worry about it. And now we got just one case and don't worry about it. Just one thing here. The problem is that, you know, I don't know if they're trying to spook people again or what it is, but they're doing a good job of it. Because now there's another unknown out there. Now it makes people less anxious to get out there and do what they're going to do. And even now it puts a little bit of a question mark in your head about, oh, I got the vaccine, but is it good for this thing? So,
well, they're going to have to make sure that it's good for this thing or people are going to just stop taking the vaccine.
Yeah, I would agree. And finally, a big question, why South African President Cyril announced a renewed ban on alcohol sales and extended curfew.
No drinking.
No drinking. No drinking.
What's drinking have to do with COVID?
They took away, they last time in March, they also stopped tobacco sales. I mean, you really want to screw up a country. You know what? You could do a lot of things. You could stop gambling. You could do that because of gathering stuff. There's a lot of things you could do. Don't take away cigarettes and don't take away alcohol. I mean, you can have a civil war. I don't understand the reasoning for this. Do you?
There is no reasoning. It's just one of these things. The expert speaks.
Oh, is that what it is? They just.
Well, I don't know. Somebody said, "Oh, drinking." No, I don't know. It's just a bunch of lunatics. As far as I'm concerned, they're all demented.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, the more that stuff that happens, the more you just have to not take any of this seriously, because you have to just wonder what it would seem to me. I know this sounds really ridiculous. But somehow the alcohol would neutralize whatever freaking virus you have in your mouth.
Yeah, probably would. Maybe they just want them to get the virus.
I don't know. It's just bizarre. I mean, I've been there and you have these shanties and there's no really good network of doctors or anything. And they're so close. You know, these they're these just tin or metal shacks. Now, I told you about this. It's fascinating when you go there because, I mean, they go on for, you just look for, as far as the eye can see, is these crazy these areas they call them slums with all these like metal leaning they lean the sides in and put a roof on it.
Lean twos.
And what's really fascinating about this is all this squalor and all this horrible conditions, they all have something in common. They all somehow have satellite dishes on top of these things. I'm not kidding. It is an amazing.
I'm telling you, sales is good.
It is an amazing. It is amazing. Right?
Who's got the franchise?
Yeah, who's got the franchise for the slums? I'll take it. I'll take it if I'm satellite dish. So, but they do have a problem. That was when I was there. We talked about the possibility of and the problem with disease, and then it's also a very rough area. A lot of people don't want to go in there and service the area. So there's and it's not. Any real good hospitals around. It's a real problem. It's a real problem. All right, on to EV news. Electric vehicles. BMW is targeting 20% of its vehicles will be electric by 2023.
I wish them luck.
20% of its vehicles will be electric. Are they saying that like 20% of the interior, like things like lights and radio will be electric?
It's cute. No.
Now there's a new story going around, by the way, about Tesla. You know, everybody's trying to break Tesla, of course, right? They're saying it's Tesla. Tesla is what AOL was at its peak, right before the competition came. I remember very distinctly, I was at a hockey game and these two guys behind me the whole time were talking about AOL, this whole discussion, right? You know, one of those kind of. They're saying the same thing over and over, somehow captivating each other's interest. And I'm like, looking back, and I'm like, what? The next day I went in the office and I bought AOL stock and had a nice run with it and got out of it. But they're saying that Tesla now is very similar to the peak when AOL had the entire market and then competition came and just destroyed them. It wasn't just competition, it was advancement.
It was the internet that destroyed them. Competition sucked against them.
Yeah.
It was, they bought up CompuServe or somebody did. So that was their original competition. And then there was this eWorld from Apple, which nobody subscribed to. Nobody wanted that. And then there was a couple of other these. MSN was the main competition and they couldn't figure it out. And meanwhile, the internet was plugging along. And once the World Wide Web of AOL was useless.
Right.
And that's the thing that happened. Unless something like that happens to Tesla, I'm not buying this analogy in the least.
Yep. Having a little problem with the stream. What's going on with the stream? But they can hear us. I don't know. It's connecting, unconnecting, disconnecting. Anybody can hear the stream okay? Sound okay? It's going bonkers, the stream. I've never seen this before. Oh, we lost the show. Yep. Let me stop this.
We lost the show. That's because you talked badly of Tesla.
Oh, is that what it was? I talked badly about AOL, and that had to do with the internet, which kind of like threw it right in there. Yeah, weird. Hopefully the show is back. Oh, AC and Mo took over the stream. Yeah, well, we're back now.
Well, you missed my rant about the whole thing.
Yeah, what you missed on the live show is unbelievable. You need to download and go over to your favorite podcast. Go to AOL and download it. But the big thing also would
keyword be... keyword DH Unplugged.
Yeah. So the big differential, I think, is that that AOL didn't progress. They didn't reinvent themselves. They didn't do anything to really understand what the future would hold, where I think Tesla has been on the bleeding edge forward of all of this and will make adjustments as they go. I mean, listen, they came out with the fart noise from the car. Now they have external speakers so people can hear all your music. I mean, I know that's silly, but they're always pushing, you know, autonomous
driving.
They're
doing something. Yeah. If AOL was sharp at the time, they would have been Facebook.
Right.
That's right. The way they could have made the transition, become Facebook.
Right.
Monster company.
Yep.
And there was nothing Facebook is doing that they couldn't have done. I mean, this to me reminds me of the thing I was talking about at the dinner table the other night, is there's nothing that Sears wasn't already doing that Amazon's doing now.
Wow.
In the days of the catalog. And then my daughter says, yeah, in fact, Sears used to sell homes, houses. And I said, yes, and also cars. Huh. Amazon's not doing either of those things.
Right. Well, let's talk about U.S. holiday retail sales. I mean, because obviously we can go around in circles here. I mean, obviously, you know, Tesla is clearly the winner in all this. There's no question. Nobody's even close. Except for the fact that all these SPACs are coming out thinking it's going to be close. Fisker. U.S. holiday retail sales. Remember we talked about this? The NRF, the National Retail Federation, came out and talked about how sales were going to be like 4-6% or something. And I said, you know, who knows what the deal is. Well, MasterCard came and said that retail sales were up 3%. But they're also quick to say, but U.S. e-commerce sales jumped 49% in this year's holiday shopping season. Like, somehow it's so important to put in what that number is that it jumped, even though we see a drop in overall sales, meaning that that's a good thing. Like, I don't understand. Is it just retail sales? Who cares if you bought it from the store, if you got it delivered? Does it matter?
No, it's retail and it was sold. Retail sales.
Right, but all these companies are constantly coming out with their, you know, you look at a Gap, you look at a, you know, a Kohl's, or all these retailers are constantly coming out with, well, we had a drop in sales, but our e-commerce sales were up 86%. It's like, okay.
Yeah, from nothing.
Yeah, who cares? But the markets love it. They're like, oh, look at that. It's fantastic. They got all these e-commerce. But again, it's all about the revenue, people. People, you got to think about that. In terms of this is kind of interesting. You know, we talk about the recession. And we talk about the companies that really got hit. We talk about how restaurants and cruise lines and airlines, all in the news, right? All these companies that not only got hit hard, but a lot of them that got bailed out or are being bailed out, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about something. I kind of was glancing at a story that I was looking at. What about the hard hit areas? Like, you know, think about a small mom and pop shoe repair store.
Yeah, they're done.
Done. People aren't going back to work, and if they are, it's casual.
Well, yes, I went to my dry cleaners. So you got to remind me, I got to pick up some dry cleaning. And I asked her about this, how things are going, and she says we're almost broke. She says there's nobody doing dry cleaning because people aren't wearing clothes. They're just wearing sweatsuits and doing Zoom calls. They're staying at home. They're not doing anything. That is killing us.
Hmm.
So I gave him some business.
Oh, there you go. Give him a little shtup of some extra money. Neuro driverless cars. This is kind of interesting. A robotics company named Neuro this week received the first ever permit to commercially deploy self-driving vehicles, of course, in California. Why would you do it in why wouldn't you do it in Wyoming where the roads are wide open? Do it in California. Where there's plenty of people.
I'll tell you the reason. Because you can't get over 15 miles an hour on these crowded freeways.
So it's going to be a bump anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a bump. So what's interesting is it's going to allow clients from Silicon Valley, allows this firm to charge clients for its driverless delivery services. But here's where it's interesting. When we think of driverless, we think of just, I don't know, a car programmed to go, right? But this one is going to be relying on a remote human operator who can control multiple autonomous vehicles from miles away. I don't know how the word autonomous comes into play when you talk about...
The word's misused.
Misused. So this is a driverless vehicle. Well, it's a humanless vehicle. How's that? In the car.
Put a dog behind the wheel.
Yeah. But they're going to rely on this remote human operator, and is a step that allows a, of course, is a key word. Once you see this, start running. This is like the word framework. A path to profitability in the emerging field of self-driving technology. Is this self-driving?
No, I think you've already answered that question.
So...
But how does it work? Does the thing drive along on its own because it can, and then all of a sudden it finds one little gotcha and it sends a red signal to the guy who's, you know, at
it's a human operator. It's a human operator who is, it's kind of like they got a joystick on it, or there's a human operator remotely. It's the stupidest idea I've ever heard of.
Well, it's like those searches that you do when you do with voice searches. I'm always convinced that half of these things are actually sending your voice to India, where they're translating. Oh, he said, stand by, you know. Then they type it into the computer.
Ah, I got you. Ice cream near me. And you get something about an ice ring or ice rink. Ripple, I don't know if you've been following this story, but Ripple, which is was a big name cryptocurrency, is having some problems. The SEC said that beginning in 2013, Ripple's former chief executive Christian Larsen and its current CEO Bradley Garlinghouse raised capital through the sale of digital assets in an unregistered offering. The company also distributed billions of Ripple in exchange for non-cash considerations such as labor.
There's a lot of this going on.
Yeah, of course there is. Now what they're doing is that Coinbase and several other exchanges are going to suspend trading in the cryptocurrency after the Securities Exchange Commission, I think it was, that said that they had a $1.3 billion unregistered securities offering. So there was also some other profitability by these CEOs and these founders profited by about $600 million. Ripple was down 35% over the past day, and it's kind of crushing down because of obviously people aren't desirous of being in a position that they can't trade or get out of or sell.
Yeah, big problem. I would think so.
Now, of course, you know, that Ripple doesn't really ripple out too far, although there are other cryptocurrencies that are getting hurt. But I think what's happening is a lot of maybe the money that's being taken out is going into Bitcoin, approaching 28,000 now. I guess maybe you can get to 30,000 by the end of the year at this pace, possibly.
I think it popped over 30 already, didn't it?
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
I thought, let's see. Bitcoin all-time high. That's not right. 23,000. That's not right. History of Bitcoin price history, Investopedia, 19,000. Bitcoin prices, 23,000. What's 23,000? Here, 28,000. Here's news. That was 3 days ago. 28,000 and change. And Bitcoin chart. It's at 27,100. Yeah, this is the highest I've been. 27,300. That's it. 27,800 right now. I don't see any higher. But a lot of people are playing that whole thing. You know, it's another mistake. Don't get involved with talking about Bitcoin. drones on the same topic of the area of autonomous stuff and things flying. U.S. is now allowing small drones to fly over people at night. Small drones will be allowed to fly over people at night in the United States, the Federal Aviation Administration said on Monday, a significant step towards their use in widespread commercial deliveries. The FAA said its long-awaited rules for drones, also known as the unmanned aerial vehicles, will address safety concerns and security concerns by requiring remote identification technology, RIT, in most cases to enable their identification from the ground. There you go.
Anyone good at skeets?
Yeah, skeets, definitely. A little bit of a I think it would be good and fair. I think it would be fair if you slingshots.
Yeah, sling. It wouldn't take much. You just get, if you could just hit one of the rotors, that would do it.
Yeah. And then who knows? A little package. I mean, they'll probably obviously have cameras on board that are recording. I still understand
how. Yeah, but they're going to record what if it's going to be at night and we're all wearing masks? What are they going
to
get?
Don't we have to? What about the areas that have overhead wires? Is that going to be a thing? Burying all the wires?
I think this thing's going to have trouble seeing those wires.
I don't know how that's going to work. Only certain areas. And what is it? If you're in like a 30-story building, is this thing going to go up and kind of deliver right to your balcony or your window?
That's what I heard.
That'd be cool. That'd be kind of cool. Just open up the window.
If it gets the right balcony.
Yeah, more people out of work. All right, no bubble in bubble land. U.S. home prices in October rose at their fastest pace in more than 6 years as the stampede of city centers resulted in fewer properties listed on record. Home prices rose 8.4% on a year-over-year basis in October, according to the National Case-Shiller Index, the highest since March 2014. And this is the thing. Prices are now 25% above the peak that was reached ahead of the 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Buy the real estate. Listen, it's the end of the year.
That was going to happen, and it did.
Yep. It's the end of the year. It's the time, the season of giving. It's the season of taking care of the people who take care of you. And what we do is every time on the show, we ask you to just pitch in a little bit and donate. And thank you so much for the donations last week. Go over to dhunplugged.com. There's a little yellow button that says donate and press the button and then give.
Press the button.
It won't hurt. It will feel good. It's great. It's a great time of year to show your thanks. And we appreciate it. It shows the love. The more you give, the more we feel loved. So go over and do that. All right. Anything you'd like to say on that?
Well, I think it's a good time to do it because it's the end of the year and you can get it out. Balance your books by donating to this show because this show probably helped to get through the year.
Yep. Boeing, American Airlines 737 MAX flew for the first time since the crash. They took a Miami to New York flight today. So they're back up in action, 737 MAXs. At least they're testing them out. Activist. Oh, this is interesting. So, Intel has been dropping like a rock. It's been really not doing well in its field. It's gotten taken out by Intel and others that are creating their own chips like Apple, et cetera. And activist hedge fund Third Point, Dan Lee Loeb, is pushing Intel to explore strategic alternatives, including whether it should keep chip design and production under one roof, according to a letter and blah, 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 blah. So he has some points about what he talked about, some of the management that's taking significant amount of money out of the company without shareholder value being going up, which is, usually the case.
So there's a couple of things about this, by the way, that should be noted. One, the chip design is not under one roof. They have designers in Hillsboro, Oregon. They have designers in Israel. They have designers in Silicon Valley. The real problem here was that Intel dropped the ball with the idea of these IP chips. In other words, they're not real chips. They're just a series of instructions you buy to make your own chip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Apple, as soon as Apple did that, it was the writing was on the wall for Intel. And now other people, Microsoft now wants to do that. They want to get one of these, start designing their own chips using the frameworks that are available. And Intel never did a framework. They never bought a company that did frameworks. They never just said, this is no good. We got a better idea. And they're very arrogant. They deserve what's going to happen to them.
Yeah. And, so the stock was up 4% today. The idea is, you get these guys behind it. They're going to change around the board positions and maybe put somebody in the board and change around what they're doing and maybe put certain parts up for sale and possibly break it up and do this, just like what was done to Disney in the worst time of Disney's history and how the stock, when they started to get involved in this, went from, whatever it was, $90 to about $170 where it is now. So you start getting these guys involved, and, that's what the concept is. So that's why they drove it back up. Again, the news cycle is like anything. It's like, there's news, let's buy. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like what the mentality is. We don't really know exactly what they're going to do, if Intel's even going to allow this to happen.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right, last thing on this section here. Old Man River. The old codgers have seemingly lost the battle. If you click this, you'll see what I'm talking about. See that little link?
I really am reluctant to look at this.
Well, you got to log in. You can't see it. I will tell you. I don't think you can see it from here. I will tell you what the answer is. That since 2016, the old codgers portfolio is up like, I don't know, 3%. And the millennial portfolio is up 151%. So there you go.
I guess that's that.
Yeah, that seems about right. Listen, before we go on to the game, you were supposed to do a limerick.
Oh, you know, I forgot all about it.
We should have had a bet on this.
I'm just remiss. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start the new year off with our first show next year with a major couple, two limericks.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, let's do
something I think I can manage in the next couple of weeks.
All right. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. All right, take the list, sir.
Well, we're finishing the year, and we're mostly in the green. The ones that all in the red. One was kicked off my Tesla speculation. It was short; it didn't work. But all the ones that are kicked off, and all the ones that are still on the list in the red, they're in the red like this. This one here is a good example. Beyond Meat, I think it was yours, minus 0.9%. The SPDR Gold Trust is minus 1.4%. Meanwhile, most of them in the green, like Medtronic, up 50%. IBM common stock, short, up 1.49. Train, your pick, 59.66 up. These are big numbers here. FVC Bank Corp, a bank stock that I picked because of a descending triangle, up 41%. Xerox, buyout candidate, up 22%. It's just like one after the other. Summit Financial Group, up 42.6%. Even more recently, the XTL BioPharm, up 26%. And Tattooed Chef, your recent pick from a couple weeks ago, up 26%. So we really finished the year off strong.
Yep. I'm not picking anything at the end of the year. It's just suicide to try to go either way into this kind of market.
No, not either.
Yeah, even though there's only a couple of days left, it just doesn't make any sense. And then somebody, you know, says, oh, even though they talked about this being a game and all that, I bought it anyway because they said it, and then everybody's all upset. Yep, so.
Yeah, we can't pick a winner at this point.
Yeah, not going to work. All right, so listen, we will touch base again, get together again in a couple of weeks, and make sure to stay tuned for next week's show, which is the Best Of Show. You got to follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, at The Real Dvorak, and myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. You got to listen to No Agenda Thursdays and Sundays at 12 live, and of course on any podcast directory that you want to find it. And The Disciplined Investor, that is a podcast you could also find on any reasonable or unreasonable podcast directory because everybody picks it up. All right, well, that's going to end it.
All right, have a nice weekend.
All right, have a nice weekend. Have a happy new year.
Same to you and everyone else.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.